Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. This is Pastor Starling, Olaf Starling, with the Anointed Word International Ministries. I would like to say good evening, good afternoon, good night. But however, we're glad to be with you tonight. We're glad, praise God, to give God glory and honor for this time to express the words of the Lord to you and yours, and I pray that all is well with you. And I do want to let you know that if you care to hear the words or you miss the message or what have you, you may be able to go to facebook.com/Pastor Olaf Starling and enjoy the word. Let the Lord, let the word of God find a place in your life. Because one thing I do know and I do understand, and I will continuously express that to you, that everything is going down except the word of God. We must have the word in that we use daily. We must stick with it in and out. There is no other way. There is nothing else that would last and do as much for each and every one of us as the word of God. Amen. And Father, we're grateful tonight, God, to give you praise, glory, and honor for what you're doing, what you're going to do, what you've already done. We speak nothing, praise God, but blessings in our lives and upon our listeners and those that are listening to us. Bless them, Father God, in their situation. And let them know, Father God, that you're standing, praise God, saying, cast your cares upon me, for I care just for you. And Father God, you will let them know tonight, praise God, that anxieties are to be cast and not carried, okay? Anxieties, you cast them and not carry them. Amen. And Father, we are grateful for you tonight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Father God, go forth, praise God, and let the word be spoken with clarity and understanding. And God, I do give you praise and I do give you glory, honoring you right now in Jesus' name, amen. And tonight, praise God, we're going to come to you from 1 Peter 5:1-11. And we're just going to touch on and talk about, praise God, anxieties are to be cast and not carried. Amen. And this is the word of the Lord, and therefore I exhort the elders among you as your followers, your fellow elders, and witnesses of the suffering of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be what? Revealed. The shepherd, the flock of God among you, exercising over you, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for your own gain, but with earnestness, not yet as lording over those that you have ruler over to your charge, but providing to be an example of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appear, which is Jesus Christ, when he appears, you will receive the unfaded crown of glory. You young men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, not being boisterous or disrespectful. For God is opposed to the proud, means he gives grace to the proud. He give grace to the humble. He's saying to us, don't be proud, but be humble, because he give grace to the humble. He says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hands of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. You don't need to exalt yourself talking about what you have, walking around with your chest pushed out because you're driving a nice car, living in a nice home, got a little money in your pocket, or you didn't arrive to a little port that you've been trying to get there for some years now, and you care to look down on everybody else. That's not how you keep what you have. What you have to do is humble yourselves. When you humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hands of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. When God exalts you, no man can bring you down. And he says, casting all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. But you must be sober while you're doing this, in spirit, and be on the alert. Because why? Because the adversary watches you, and he sees what you do. And he watches your arrogant spirit and your proudness. And he's only setting you up to tear you down. And the devil, he prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may be able to devour and to destroy. Because we already know that he only comes for three things in this world, and those three things are to kill, to devour, and to destroy. He has nothing in him good but just those three things. That's what he has in him. That's how he operates. That's what he lives on. Mm-hmm. This is what he gives out. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So you let God establish you, not man. Because when man establishes you, they get angry, get jealous, get mad at you. They'll pull all that they gave to you, and you stand on the rug that they place you on. They'll pull it from up on you. Wouldn't care whether you fall, whether you break your neck, whether you break a limb, whether you don't get back up. They really would not care. Amen. But to him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. And what are we saying here tonight? We're saying because, see, the opposite of boldness is fear or anxiety. It is not surprising that God not only called us to be bold for Christ and his kingdom, but he also makes a provision for us to get rid of our fear. Because he said in the book that perfect love casts out fear. And what is that to fear about fear? Nothing but fear itself. Okay? And we have to get rid of our fears and our anxieties, giving us courage and taking our fears out. Okay, this is what he's saying. And two ways of doing that is this. Now, first of all, we must be directed and called to boldness. It's just called not to be anxious, but to be bold. And so it's an indirect call to be boldness, have to call to be boldness and courageous. See, but you want to be bold in the who? In the Holy Ghost. Now, the threat of humility is this, but there is something that's very unusual about what I'm talking about tonight. And the threat is, in this ministry that I'm doing tonight, I'm talking to you, praise God, that tempts us to be anxious. It is not explicit. It's like a prison to us, or injury, or slander, or something of that nature, because what it does, it takes hold on us and it controls us. Now, the threat is humility, or you may put it another way. The reason Peter deals with this problem is anxiety is because he is dealing with the problem of humility. Somehow, the command for humility makes the command to cast out anxieties on God more urgent than what we may think we need to. But now we go and continue to keep discussing and talking about this in verse 5 and 7. We must notice in the flow of thought from verse 5 and 7. It starts with the word of the elders in the church, or the shepherds, the flock, the willingness and the eagerness, and without being motivated by any type of monetary funds or money. The focus was turned to the other, into others in church. He says, young men, likewise, be subject to your elders, to all the church, and all you. Close yourself with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to proud. He can't stand proud. The Bible said that he says he even hates a proud look. But he said, give grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hands of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time. Don't exalt yourself. Don't make it look like you think you got it going on. Everything about you is all in order. Nothing is out of order. Now, right here is when it comes to that connection between the call for humility and the command to cast all the anxieties on God. The command for humility seems to cause anxiety to rise. And so Peter deals with it. He dealt with it. This is why he says, humble yourself. Cast all your anxieties on him. But that break the obscure and the connection, you see. it does not appear because of what we are going through. It's not saying just stop it. It's saying this is something that must be continued, that we must do this constantly. That's why the Bible says, cast all your anxiety upon me, him. Cast all your anxieties on the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble yourself. Don't go walking up to the Lord like you know you got it all together and there's no mistakes in you and everything about you is righteous and you did it just perfectly. I'm sorry, my friend. But you must come to him in humbleness. You must come to him as a little child. Humble is the way. He said, humble yourselves and cast. He didn't say bring it. He said cast it. Cast your anxieties. But humble yourselves and casting your anxiety, you see, those two works together. And see, casting your cares on God is part of, praise the Lord, of you humbling yourself. This point I'm making is that casting your anxieties on God is somehow, is part of humbling yourself. Calling your anxiety on God is the job by you casting it on him, okay? Your anxiety on God is cruel, is crucial. And if you are going to humble yourself under God's hand and close yourself with humility towards each other, then it wouldn't be a problem for you to cast your anxieties on God. It is not simply a separation of things that you do after you humble yourself. Sometimes, do you do this in order? It doesn't matter whether you cast, whether you humble, but long as you do them both. Okay? It's a process. Now, there's something about humbling yourselves under God's hand and humble yourself before the people that makes it casting all your anxieties on God necessary. Because people, they will rub you wrong. Or I might say another way, there is something about casting your anxiety on God that makes humbling yourself under God and before others and possibly other people. Now, it kind of looked like humility is a threat that causes, you know, anxiety, you know. And if we're going to be humble with God and with each other, we're going to have to cast our anxiety on God. That's the connection, my friend, between verse 7 and what goes on before. Close yourself with humility towards each other. And humble yourself under the mighty hands of God by casting your anxiety on God. But now, why do we have to do that? Why does humility create anxiety? Why is that? But why does humility create anxiety? What does humility take? Courage. Why? Why do we need someone to take our anxiety away in order for us to be humble? You see, the answer is easily. If you just start thinking of something, some type of example of humility, what does it mean to be humble? It means when you made a mistake, admitting it and saying you are sorry. It means when you are weak or sick, or inadequate for a task, or not even not being too proud to ask, you're not so proud to ask for help. It means doing something ordinary on a job or someone asks you to do something, praise the Lord, and spending time with ordinary people and being indifferent to their obstacles or their shortcomings. In other words, what am I saying is that all forms of humility is the risk of losing your face. Humility is the risk of not being noticed, of not being appreciated, not being praised, and not being rewarded. Lowliness runs the obvious risk of being looked down on. Humility. And being looked down on sometimes is very painful. And you know, we think, praise God, that we've gotten over that, but there are times, praise God, when you think that you should be recognized for something or somebody don't say enough of something about you, your flesh get flared up. It flares up. It swells. You get angry. Why didn't you say something about me? Why didn't you call my name? Why didn't it? It's not about you. I believe the Bible said you got to be well when people are always speaking well of you anyway. Be very careful when men is always patting you on your back to know how good you are and how you this and how you that. Because the same one that pat you on your back will cut your jugular vein. So don't be fooled because people don't say anything about you or they say something you think that's it. It's not that, sweetie. Close yourself with humility. So if we are really going to be humble, we have to solve this anxiety problem. If we're going to have the courage of humility and the boldness of lowliness, I didn't say loneliness, I said lowliness. Lowliness, I mean always been alone, feel like nobody want to be bothered, you can't connect to this person, you don't fit in here, you don't fit in there. Well, praise the Lord. Someone's going to have to take our anxiety away. Okay? But be humble by casting all your anxieties on God. He tells you how to get rid of it. The secret of humility is being able to cast your anxieties on God. Okay? And humble yourselves under God's mighty hands and cast your anxiety on God. God is the focus in both verses, and the connection is this. Before you can put yourself, okay, humbly under God's mighty hand, you have to put your anxiety confidentially in God's mighty hand. You can't switch that. You got to have it and do it the right way. But there's a fearful, that this thing is fearful and is crawling under the mighty hands of God for the rebelliousness and the proud. But that is not what Peter's calling for. The humility Peter commands under God's hand is peaceful, confident, humility that comes because we have casted our anxiety on God with the confidence that he careth for us. With the confidence. You're not worried about if you're going to go and tell somebody about it or how he's going to handle it. All you need to know is have the confidence in knowing that he cares for us. That's what he's saying. See, I really love these two images side by side. Humbled and Lord, under the mighty hands of an infinite God, a holy and powerful God, a confident and a peaceful God, because that very God cares for us and carries our anxiety. Why? Because anxieties are not to be, understand? They are not to be, listen to me carefully. Remember, they are not to be cast. Okay? They are to be cast and not carried. Anxieties are to be cast. Many of us are walking around carrying anxiety. That's a problem. Because we need to cast it. That's what the Word of God said to. Cast your anxieties upon me. For I care for you. To tell the young men to live and to do things and to arm yourself likewise. And see what he's saying here, he said, I'm telling you the two things that you have to cast and you have to give in and you have to get rid of anxiety and then put yourself under the mighty hands of God. All your anxieties on him. Cast them all. Don't try to hold any back. There is nothing too hard that God can handle. Give it all to him. Let him handle it. He can do it. You can't. Huh? Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hands of God, that he may exalt you in proper time, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. He keeps saying the same thing. I think he said humble and caring and casting about 15, 20, 25 times since I've been talking and discussing this message with the listeners. That means that he is concerned and it is something that his heart is laid upon his heart because he continuously keeps speaking the same thing. I want you to get it. I want you to understand what I am saying to you. You can walk around stress-free. You can walk around with no problems at all free. You can walk around and be happy and may not even have no money in your pocket, no bread in your house, but you're still happy because you got a song in your heart. You got somebody, praise God, that will love you in spite of it all. You must understand his love is the agape love. It's the agape love. And he was saying, all I need you to do is be humble. Don't walk up to me trying to man up to me. See, that's not enough. You can't do that to him. No, 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 no. You have to go to him in the spirit of a child, humble spirit. There is something about casting your anxieties on God that makes humbling yourself under God and before others possible. Now, it looks like humility is a threat that causes, you know, anxiety. And if we're going to be humble with God, we have to realize that's a lie from the pit. We're going to have to cast our anxieties on God, closing ourselves with humility towards one another, and humbling ourselves under the mighty hands of God, not over him or in him, but under for the protection. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, what the word of the Lord is saying here? Well, he simply said it means when you are weak or sick or inadequate for a task, not being too proud to ask for help. It means that doing something ordinary, job, and spending time with ordinary people and being indifferent to their situation. We have to solve the anxiety problem. We have to solve that. So if we are really going to be humble, we have to solve this anxiety problem. If we are going to have the courage of humility and boldness of lowliness, someone is going to have to take our anxieties away. And who is that someone? Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the point of this verse. Be humble by casting all your anxieties on the Lord Jesus Christ. The secret of humility is being able to cast your anxieties on God. Between humbling yourself under God's mighty hand in verse 6 and casting your anxiety on God in verse 7, God is the focus in both verses, and the connection is this. Before you can put yourself humbly under God's mighty hand, you have to put your anxiety confidently in God's the hand. That's what we have to do. There is some fearful crawling under the mighty hands of God, but God's hand is the best hand to grow up under, and it's the most safest place to be. God's hand is a peaceful, confidential humility, because we have casted our anxiety on God with the confidence that he cares for us. And we must understand, people, that God cares for us, and you don't walk around carrying your anxieties, you cast them. Amen. That's powerful. That is so powerful. Because that very God cares for us and carries our anxieties. You do not have to carry them. You don't need to carry them. He's carrying them for you. Amen. That's why he's saying, learn to lean and depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be all right. Well, I thank God, praise God, for this word today. Praise the Lord. I thank God for you listening, and that you will cast your burdens on him, and he will sustain you. Even to your old age, he will sustain you. Even when your hair gray turns gray, he will still sustain you. He will carry you. He will watch over you and protect you. And Father, we are grateful tonight for your word tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would let us, praise God. Praise God, you continue, praise God, to look to you, God, to carry us, praise God, and that we'll be able to cast our anxieties upon you because you care for us without the worry and the aggravation. And Father, we ask tonight, Father God, that you would let us, God, allow us, praise God, to have a good night rest, to keep our minds stayed on thee, that you would keep us in perfect peace. And Father, we are grateful tonight if there's one that do not know you in the pardon of their sin. Father God, allow them, Father God, to know that you're standing with outstretched arms saying, come, And you're standing there saying, bring your anxieties, cast them on me, that I may make your burden light. He said, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For my burden is light, and my yoke is easy. God wants us to be burden-free and walking in the fullness of Christ. Until this time, next time, you be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.